WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. You know the anti-wrinkle cream Retin-A? According to the new book, Acres of Skin, the early tests of this cream were conducted on prisoners who voluntarily rented out their bodies in return for modest payments. Acres of Skin, written by Alan Hornblum, focuses on the use of inmates at Holmesburg Prison in Philadelphia for testing new creams, toothpaste, deodorants, foot powders, and shampoos. The testing program expanded to include mind-altering drugs, dioxin, and radioactive isotopes. The architect of the prison testing program was the dermatologist who invented Retin-A, Dr. Albert Kligman. He was also a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Holmesburg was one of the many prisons around the country that allowed its inmates to be used as medical guinea pigs. This practice was outlawed in 1974 after congressional hearings led by Ted Kennedy. Author Alan Hornblum has served on the Board of Trustees of the Philadelphia Prison System and the Pennsylvania Crime Commission, and now teaches criminal justice and urban studies at Temple University. He first found out about the medical experiments in the early 70s when he was teaching at the Philadelphia Detention Center, which was part of Dr. Kligman's testing program.
I walked into the Philadelphia Detention Center on a very hot September morning in 1971 to begin teaching adult literacy program. And one of the first things that struck me were the scores of inmates who were walking around with bandages, gauze pads, adhesive tape on their arms and chest and back. I had never seen a large-scale clinical experiment, so I thought it could have come from a cell block riot, some sort of gang warfare in the prison yard. And the next day I asked the guard, what was the story here? And he said, oh, that's nothing. That's just a perfume test for the University of Pennsylvania. And I was dumbfounded by this and very skeptical, but that's what everybody told me.
How did you find out that these tests were also being run at Holmesburg Prison?
I was told immediately that what we had at the Philadelphia Detention Center was mild in comparison to Holmesburg. They told me that 3 out of 4 prisoners were on one experiment on the other, and the guards were equally dubious, but it had been going on for years, and they grew tired of my questions, quite frankly, because I was the one who was new in the prison system, not the experiments. By the time I had walked into the prison in 1971, those experiments were 2 decades old.
Give us the big picture. What kinds of medicines or products, ingredients were being tested on prisoners at Holmesburg?
You could find any and everything in Holmesburg that you would find in your medicine cabinet. They were testing hair dyes, soaps, deodorants, detergents, athlete's foot medication, skin creams of every kind. It really was a marketplace that the pharmaceutical companies and the chemical companies were attracted to because there were so many prisoners who were cheap and available at the time.
And there were other studies, too, that were done.
Yes. In later years, the program took on such wide acceptance by people in both the private and public sector that you had tobacco companies asking to have their protocols operationalized there. You had major chemical companies like Dow Chemical was testing dioxin on the prisoners. You even had chemical warfare studies for the Army and the CIA that went through the 1960s.
Tell us something about the doctor who was the architect of the program, Dr. Albert Kligman.
Dr. Kligman is still with us today. He's 82 years old, and he's arguably the most famous dermatologist in the country. He has a worldwide reputation. Many people know him because he's the father of Retin-A, the very successful anti-acne, anti-wrinkle cream. Dr. Kligman was a fascinating physician in the post-war period. Many young scholars and students came to Penn just to train under him. He was a great raconteur. He was a spellbinding lecturer. In his private life, he was a horseback rider. He was a balloon enthusiast. He flew planes. He played tennis. He was a gymnast in college. He was very colorful compared to most of the staid men in the field.
Now, how did Dr. Kligman end up using prisoners as people to test products on?
Well, he first walked into the prison, as I understand it, in 1951 to take a look at an outbreak of athlete's foot, which periodically occurred in the prison. Some of the medical people in the prison had caught notice of a couple of articles on fungi written by this University of Pennsylvania professor. So they contacted him, and he decided he would go up there and take a look at it. But when he walked through the front doors, he was just amazed. As he said, he felt like a farmer seeing a fertile field. He did not see people. He did not see prisoners. He saw acres of skin, which is where the title of the book comes from. These are his own terms. And he said that they were an anthropoid colony that was perfect for dermatologic study. And from that day on, he was in there for nearly the next quarter century.
Ellen Hornblum is my guest, author of the new book, Acres of Skin, about medical testing on prisoners. How were prisoners recruited for these medical tests?
In many cases, they were directed there by other prisoners who told folks this is where you could earn some money. Some of the social workers told the prisoners, if you're desperate for money, this is where you can go and you can be on an experiment and they will pay you. There could have been some items placed on billboards, but basically it was word of mouth, and it got around very substantially. And the men who were in the prison were desperate to earn a few bucks. If you were lucky enough to get a prison job, sewing clothes, making shoes, cleaning a cell block, you would get all of 15 cents a day, 25 cents a day. It was really a pittance. However, if you were an experimental guinea pig, you could make a buck a day, a buck and a half, $2, depending upon the experiment that you embarked on. So it was really princely wages compared to what the history of the prison paid out.
A lot of people wonder, why do prisoners need money when they're locked up?
What people don't understand is, wherever you are in society, in basically whatever country, you're better off if you have money, and that includes prisons. You have to understand that Holmesburg Prison, then, as it was throughout its 100 years, it was a county facility where overwhelmingly the people who were there were unsentenced, untried. They were technically innocent. So if you could raise a few bucks, you may be able to pay your bail, or you may be able to hire an attorney to represent you, or just to go down the commissary and buy some tasty cakes, some cigarettes, some other candy, food items, things like that. So if you had money, you'd be in a better position.
So the prisoners got money in return for loaning their bodies.
They were not
to
doing
science.
It for altruistic reasons or patriotism or anything else.
Were there consent forms that they had to sign?
There were consent forms or waiver forms. I have a couple of them, one from the mid-60s and one from the early 70s. And they basically state that I, the undersigned, give up any legal right to sue the doctors, the University of Pennsylvania, or the prison system if anything untoward should occur in the experiment.
What were the prisoners told by the doctors who were running the tests?
At most, they would be told that maybe you're going to be testing an analgesic, and it may have this effect, and if anything goes wrong, we'll be here to take care of you. It was very brief, very superficial. You have to also understand that the prisoners were unsophisticated, uneducated. By the time I was there, they were overwhelmingly African American, and they were not particularly well adept at handling such questions or even raising them. You know, you could tell them they're testing an analgesic and they wouldn't have any idea, you know, what you were talking about. I was there to teach, so I knew their education level. Very few had graduated high school. Most had dropped out of school in 9th or 10th grade, which meant they were basically on a 6th grade reading level.
What were some of the typical side effects that the prisoners testing the drugs experienced?
Well, what I saw when I interviewed them were lots of scars and discolorations. One inmate I tracked down at Holmesburg took off his shirt and showed me all sorts of scars and discolorations on his back. He also showed me two large incision scars on each side of his abdomen where he was brought in for a test. Two doctors laid him down on a gurney. They cut him open on each side. They then packed him with gauze pads and some medication. They sewed him up and sent him on his way. This was without, according to the inmate, any anesthesia or anesthetic. They brought him back 10 days later, and they reopened one wound and took out the packing, sewed him up again, and sent him on his way. 10 days later, they did the same thing to the other side. He never knew what the test was about. He never knew what they put in him or why it was done. All he knows is he got $10 for each slice.
Now, when it came to the dermatological test, the patch test, to see how your skin would react to different ointments and chemicals, One prisoner gave you this comment. The comment was basically, you know, big deal, so I'm rubbing some ointments on my back. You know, maybe it'll blister. I've spent half my life shooting heroin into my veins, so why should I worry about, you know, a few creams and ointments and some itching? Was that a typical comment?
Many told me that. This one particular prisoner was up in years. He was a very wily con and, in fact, was my aide through many of the early years there. But there were other inmates who were genuinely fearful of the tests and did it only under duress. They needed money, and this was the only way to get it. But yes, there were many inmates who felt that the doctors were wearing white coats. They were well-educated. They were from a prestigious university in the city. They said that these tests would not harm them. They believed them, and they took part in the experiments.
Well, you point out in your book that some of the prisoners were the most ardent advocates for keeping the system in place because it was helping them get money, which they very much wanted to get.
Absolutely. In fact, when the experiments were curtailed in Philadelphia in 1974, the prisoners signed a petition. Overwhelmingly, they wanted them back, and they were upset with the individuals who tried to stop the experimentation. These prisoners were willing to gamble on the health risks to make a few dollars.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Alan Hornblum. We're talking about his new book, Acres of Skin, Human Experiments at Holmesburg Prison. This is the story of how prisoners were used in the 50s, 60s, and 70s for experimental medical research, and it happened not just in prisons in Pennsylvania, but really in prisons all around the country. Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air.